Speaking on this program is Brother Tony Lawrence.
And we're glad that you're here this morning. And we want to be able to take a few minutes this morning to be able to study together and hopefully for us to learn a lesson that will be able to benefit us in life. Today is a day that is set aside to remember the Lord's death by many people in this world. In fact, it is commonly referred to as the day of Easter. That's not really a correct designation for this day. The word Easter really is a celebration to the goddess Easter, so that's not really a correct terminology. But the truth is that faithful Christians worship and serve the Lord every first day of the week, remembering His death, His burial, and His resurrection. And it's valuable to study this memorial and what it means, as well as studying all memorials to understand better how we can serve God. I'd like to direct your attention this morning to look at three things. I'd like for us to talk about, beginning, about the importance of memorials, what they mean to us. Then number two, I'd like for us to look at some Old Testament memorials. There are some memorials in the Old Testament that we can learn from, we can benefit from. And then finally, I would like for us to look at the New Testament memorial that we've often hinted to and alluded to in our service already this morning. Let's begin, first of all, by talking about some memorials. We create memorials so that we do not forget. We don't want to forget the importance of various things. A few years ago, on September the 11th, 2002, a year after the crashing into the towers and the crashing into the Pentagon, the Graves and Coretta and myself went to Washington, D.C., and on September the 11th, that night, we took a tour of the monuments and the memorials. And we went to a number of them. We went and saw the Washington Monument. We saw the Lincoln Memorial. We saw the Vietnam Memorial. We saw the Korean Memorial. The one for Iwo Jima. The one for Jefferson Davis. Thomas Jefferson. A number of those that we saw that night. And the reason being is because these memorials are important in our country. As you think about here locally, a few years ago, three young people were killed tragically, and there is a memorial bridge where the Highway 70 and Highway 55 intersect called the Angels Bridge. There's an elementary school named in honor, a memorial of Bobby Ray, Bobby Ray Elementary. We have a number of cemeteries, the Gardens of Memory. There are memorials there. There are monuments, markers to those people who have passed from this life. We even have holidays to remember various important events. For instance, July the 4th, we celebrate the independence of our country, July the 4th, 1776. Veterans Day, we remember those who have served in our armed forces, those who have given their lives even, because we have a day named Memorial Day in which we honor the memory of those who have given their lives on the battlefield. God expects His people to remember. Now, I've given to you the fact that there's so many things that we remember here of ourselves, but God wants His people to have a good mind and a good memory. For instance, in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 4 and verse 9, we read these words. God said, "Only take heed to yourself, and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things which your eyes have seen, lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, and teach them to your children and to your grandchildren." God told the children of Israel through Moses, there are some important events that are going to take place. And I want you to remember these events. I don't want you to forget them. I want you to keep them in your mind. And the children of Israel did. And we have to understand that God expects us also to have a good mind, a good memory of these things, which is going to lead me into a discussion of some Old Testament memorial events. Some of these were events that were created by man and for a very good purpose. Other of these were created by God for man to remember. Let me just carry you through some of these so that you can get a perspective of them. First of all, we're going to look when Jacob meets God at Bethel. Jacob is going to meet God there. He's going to talk with God, and Jacob's going to say, "This is so important, I need to set aside something to remember this by." Or the Feast of Purim in the book of Esther, chapter 9. There was a whole feast that was observed by the children of Israel and is even observed by the Jews today to mark that great event. Then you go and you look in Exodus chapter 16, and God said, "I want you to take some of this manna and I want you to set it aside and I want you to be able to look at it and remember how I fed you in the wilderness." When the children of Israel crossed the Jordan River and crossed over into the Promised Land, they set up a pile of stones there to remember that. And then three times a year, on the day of Passover, the day of Pentecost, and the Feast of Weeks, or the Feast of Tabernacles, became another one of the three feasts that they were all supposed to celebrate. And then I added one at the last minute, Absalom's Monument. Absalom built something for people to remember who he was and what service he had rendered. Let me carry you through some of these and let's talk about them for just a little bit. In Genesis chapter 35, then God appeared to Jacob again when he came from Padan Aram and blessed him. And God said to him, "Your name is Jacob. Your name shall not be called Jacob anymore, but Israel shall be your name." So he called his name Israel. Also God said to him, "I am the God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall proceed from you, and your king shall come from your body. The land which I gave to Abraham, to Isaac, I give to you and to your descendants after you. I give this land." Then God went up from him to the place where he talked with him. So Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he talked with him, a pillar of stone, and he poured out a drink offering on it, and he poured oil on it. And Jacob called the name of the place where God spoke to him, Bethel. Jacob saw that this was a significant place. This is a place where God talked to him. Let me ask you a question. If God were to choose, and He does not reveal Himself that way to man, but if God were to so choose today to reveal Himself to you, would you want it to be a special place that you remember where God talked to you? You see, Jacob had his name changed. It was no longer Jacob. It's now Israel, giving honor to God. And he's going to name the place Bethel, giving honor God, saying this is the house of God. You see, it's an important memorial. Let me carry to the book of Esther, chapter 9. Many of you remember the story of Esther. King Ahasuerus was the king of Persia, which is Iran today. And he had a queen wife, and her name was Esther. There was a man in Ahasuerus' court by the name of Haman. He wanted to kill the Jews. Through the encouragement of Queen Esther's uncle, Mordecai, there was a means by which the children of Israel were preserved. And when they were able to preserve them, they had a feast, a memorial feast to remember that. And it's found here in Esther chapter 9. They call these days Purim, after the name Pure. Therefore, because of all the words of this letter, what they had seen concerning the matter and what had happened to them, the Jews established and imposed it upon themselves and their descendants and all that would join them, that without fail they should celebrate these 2 days every year according to the written instruction and according to the prescribed time. That these days should be remembered throughout every generation, every family, every province, every city, that these days Purim should not fail to be observed among the Jews, and that the memory of them should not perish among their descendants. They did not want to forget how important of an event that really was. Now when I come to Exodus chapter 16, You have to remember, God led the children of Israel out of Egypt. They had been in bondage. And He led them all the way up to Mount Sinai and gave them the law. And while they were wandering there in that wilderness, God fed them with bread from heaven. That bread from heaven was called manna. And here it says, "Then Moses said, 'The thing which the Lord has commanded, fill an omer with it, to be kept for your generations, that they may see the bread which I fed you in the wilderness when I brought you out of the land of Egypt.' And Moses said to Aaron, 'Take a pot and put an omer of manna in it, and lay it up before the Lord to be kept for your generations. As the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron laid it up before the testimony to be kept. And the children of Israel ate manna 40 years until they came into the inhabited land. They ate manna until they came into the border of the land of Canaan.'" You see, 40 years later, that same pot of manna could be looked at and they could remember the food which God had fed them with. That pot of manna was placed inside the Ark of the Covenant so that it could be remembered. Then the children of Israel came to the Jordan River. And it says, "It came to pass when all the people had completely crossed over the Jordan that the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, 'Take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one man from every tribe, and command them, saying, Take for yourselves 12 stones from here out of the midst of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet stood firm, and you shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where you lodge tonight.' Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the children of Israel, one man from every tribe. And Joshua said to them, 'Cross over before the ark of the Lord into the midst of the Jordan, and each one of you take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in a time to come, what do these stones mean to you? And then you shall answer them, the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it crossed over the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be for a memorial for the children of Israel forever.'" You see, they crossed over, and later on the children would come and say, "Well, what do these stones mean?" And they could say, "This is where the children of Israel crossed over the Jordan River." And then he goes on and explains how they did that. One more is found in the book of Exodus. And that is the three times in the year, the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, which is the Feast of the Passover, the Feast of Pentecost, and then the Feast of Ingathering or the Feast of Tabernacles. These were to be a memorial. But I want to carry you one more of the Old Testament before we move to the New Testament. Many of you will remember that Absalom was the son of David. Absalom was that son who became a very wicked son. In fact, he drove his father David from the city of Jerusalem and from being king and ruler. And Absalom was so vain that he wanted people to remember him. And so here's what occurred in 2 Samuel 18, verse 18. Now, Absalom, all of his lifetime had taken and set up, or in his lifetime had taken and set up a pillar for himself, which is in the king's valley. For he said, "I have no son to keep my name in remembrance." He called the pillar after his own name, and to this day it is called Absalom's Monument. If you walk in the Kidron Valley, which is the same thing as the King's Valley, just south of where the Eastern Gate would be, there is a monument there called Absalom's Monument. The one that's there now dates back to just before the time of Christ. Jesus saw that monument. Most scholars believe that there was a monument that had already been destroyed there to Absalom, but in the same place, or that this one was rebuilt on that place. But there's a monument there now over 2,000 years old because Absalom wanted people to remember him. You see, there's all kinds of memorials. But now let me bring you the New Testament. One does not find, when he comes to the New Testament, all of this wide range of memorials. In fact, once you get to the New Testament, everything focuses in one direction toward Jesus Christ. Even when you find the word memorial, as we will find in Matthew 26, verses 6 through 13, it's still focused on Jesus. When you come to read about Him in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23-29, again, the focus there on what we do is on Jesus Christ and on His death. I think it's interesting. In the Old Testament, you have this memorial, this memorial, this memorial, this memorial. But when we come to the New Testament, it's all focused in one direction. It's focused on Jesus Christ, on His death, His burial, and His resurrection. Quickly, let me carry you to the reading in Matthew 26. And when Jesus was at Bethany, at the house of Simon the leper, a woman came to Him with an alabaster flask of very costly fragrant oil. And she poured it on His head and sat at the table. But when His disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, "Why this waste? For such fragrant oil might have been sold for so much and given to the poor." But when Jesus was aware of it, He said to them, "Why do you trouble the woman? For she has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, but me you do not have always. For in pouring this fragrant oil on my body, she did it for my burial. Assuredly, I say to you that wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will be told as a memorial to her." You see, what she did, she prepared the body of Jesus to be buried. She poured that ointment on Jesus. But the passage that Brother Larry read parts of it just a few moments ago, found in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, focuses our mind on remembering the Lord's death. It focuses on remembering when we gather together on the first day of the week, the body and the blood of the Lord. I want you to notice with me. I'm going to read carefully verses 20 and following. "Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper." They had a problem there. People were not coming together for the right purpose. The purpose was to eat the Lord's Supper and to remember Him. "For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others, and one is hungry and another is drunk. What, do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not." The Lord said, "You have turned this memorial feast into something that it was never intended to be." Well, what did the Lord intend? "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, He also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the covenant, new covenant in my blood. This, as often as you drink it, do it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till He comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he that eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." That means that what we did just a few moments ago was so important. It was a memorial. It was for us to remember the Lord's body and to remember the Lord's blood. Now that brings me to a conclusion here. Memorials are important. But sometimes people do not identify with a memorial because it doesn't mean anything to them. Let me illustrate this to you. If I go to another country and they're celebrating a holiday, that holiday doesn't mean much to me because I do not have any heritage in it. If I go to a grave site, cemetery, And there are a number of people buried in that cemetery, and I do not recognize their names. I do not know anything about them. It doesn't mean much to me. However, if I am in Vernon, Alabama, and I'm at the Bethel Church of Christ Cemetery, and I walk through that cemetery, I will see Lawrence, 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 Lawrence. And that means something to me. Because I remember many of those people who are my ancestors. And there are memorials there that mean something to me. When Nehemiah was ready to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem and ready to restore that city to its glory, there were people there who were not Jews. And here's what he said to them. So I answered and said to them, "The God of heaven Himself will prosper us. Therefore we, His servants, will arise and build. But you have no heritage or right or memorial in Jerusalem." What Nehemiah said was, we're here and we're ready to rebuild this city because this means something to us. He said, it doesn't mean anything to you, but it does mean something to us. Let me ask you a question. What Jesus did on the cross, does that mean something to you? Does that mean something to you? If you're a Christian, it does. It means something very important to you. It means that Jesus gave His life so that you can live. You can go to heaven. But if you're not a Christian, you can make that special to you. We're going to sing this song here in just a moment. And the purpose of this song is to encourage you to respond to the Lord's invitation to become a New Testament Christian. You do that by believing in Jesus Christ, repenting of your sins, confessing your faith in Him, and being baptized. And we have everything prepared for you. The baptistry is prepared. There's garments prepared. We would love for you to become a New Testament Christian this morning. But let me remind you also that those of us who are Christians sometimes lose sight of how important things are to us. Maybe when you're young, you don't realize how important family means to you. But as you get older, you realize how important that really is. And maybe while you're young, you even bring shame on the name of your family. And now you come to realize, you know, that's really bad. Sometimes when we become Christians, we take for granted all that's been done for us. And then it dawns on us, you know what? I have disappointed the Lord. I've not been living like a Christian ought to live. My life has been an embarrassment to the Lord. And now it's time for me to make things right. It's time for me to come back to God and say, I'm sorry for what I've done. I want to be restored to faithfulness. If you're a Christian this morning, you need to come back and be restored to faithfulness.